League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another WTF1 podcast, That Time When edition. Today, we are reflecting. Of course, we're reflecting towards Austria. And this time, it's the 2016 GP that we saw round there. A race where title rivals Nico Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton battled it out for the victory. Now, I am joined, of course, by our resident founder guest who knows everything about Formula One. That's why he's part of That Time When. It's, of course, Tom Bellingham. Doo-doo! How are you doing, Tommy?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, this is one of those races that feels like not very long ago, but is actually many, many years ago now. And there'll be a lot of fans that weren't watching in this era. And to me, it feels like a couple of seasons ago. But yeah, it's actually
6 years.
6 years ago.
Of course, pre-Drive to Survive. So yeah, that's kind of where we put our That Time When.
Pre our YouTube channel.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
this started, was before it was born. Maybe you were having conversations about which presenter should be heading the brand new WTF on YouTube channel at this point.
Probably would have been about this time, you know.
Exciting. Either way, what was Formula One like in 2016? Let's take a look back, if we want to, if we can, because this was the Mercedes domination era. Mercedes had dominated the last 2 years, of course, looking at 2016. And they were even more dominant the year that we're taking a look at.
I know.
I love how we, obviously, there are eras, aren't there? There's the Ferrari era, there's the Red Bull era, there's the Mercedes era. But the Mercedes era was really bad.
Yeah, oh, really bad. Yeah, I remember, I know the joke happened at the most recent Grand Prix at Silverstone, where Sainz obviously got pole, and then the TV cameras didn't show the rest of the people that were still setting their laps. But that is what genuinely used to happen in this era, because Mercedes would just, it was only them two. You know, you wouldn't even get a moment where someone, unless they crashed or something happened, where they like, it'd have to be absolutely bonkers for them not to win. And yeah, it would be qualifying sessions, and it would just be a case of Rosberg and Hamilton. One of them could screw up a lap and be half a second, lose 6/10 a lap, and they'd still be second easily.
Usually, and Rosberg, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, normally with the regulations, obviously this is the start of the hybrid era. So we had 2014 was when it came in, and Mercedes dominated. Normally the teams catch up. 2016 was actually the most dominant era of Mercedes. Madness. They were somehow even quicker. And up until the Austrian Grand Prix, and a long time after this Austrian Grand Prix, they had won every single race apart from the one where they crashed into each other at the start of Spain and Verstappen won. If that hadn't have happened, they, and I think Ricciardo won in Malaysia, they'd have won every single Grand Prix of a how many race season? 21 race season. They won 19 of a 21 race season. And then the only one really, well, we'll probably save Malaysia, because I think that could probably be quite a good That Time When anyway.
Certainly.
Unless you're a Hamilton fan.
Yeah, of course. I actually did remember, or forgot to say, that it's That Time When Nico Rosberg didn't turn right. Usually I say the title at the start, but here we are. We're mixing it up, keeping it fresh. But yes, it is That Time When Nico Rosberg didn't turn right. So ahead of Austria.
Which one? I said it a few times, but the Austrian version.
Yes, the Austrian.
Not the Monaco
2016
one.
Version. So Rosberg started the year with four straight wins. And we're thinking, Nico Rosberg, what are you doing, mate? And it just sent it back then. It used to be a trend, didn't it? That Hamilton used to take a few races to warm up, and Rosberg absolutely took advantage of that and had 141 points compared to Lewis Hamilton's 117. So you'd think with four straight wins, if it wasn't such a domineering era for Mercedes, he'd probably have more than a 24-point lead. But that was the way in which Mercedes were, that they would just usually one to it. But Nico Rosberg was absolutely smashing it, and Hamilton just picking up the points behind.
Yeah, Hamilton had a lot of misfortune at the start of the year, punted by Bottas in Bahrain, of all people, back when Bottas was at Williams, who'd obviously be his future teammate. A lot of gearbox issues this season as well that plagued particularly Hamilton, where he'd get a five-place grid drop, and this would happen a lot throughout the season. But yeah, Nico had won four on the bounce, and he'd actually won the previous three of the last season, because Hamilton actually dominated 2015. Like, Rosberg was nowhere near, and actually looked like Vettel might even somehow finish P2 in the title in the Ferrari. And it was like, right, another season, Hamilton's going to walk this. Don't worry. He always has a slow start to the season, but then you're like, actually, Nico Rosberg's having a blinder here. But then Hamilton started chipping away again at his lead. And at this point, Rosberg's won five races and Hamilton's won two.
But only 24 points clear. Rosberg at this point. So let's take a look at qualifying then, shall we? And it was a bit of a mixed up grid, although on pace, it still should have been a Mercedes 1-2. But we had a Rosberg penalty. But it rained at the end of Q2, meaning a wet start to Q3. But there was a drying track. And yet there was still a Mercedes 1-2. Hamilton taking pole from Rosberg. Nico Hülkenberg doing Nico Hülkenberg things sometimes in qualifying, rocking up in his Force India, and managed to get onto the front row due to the Rosberg penalty. And Pascal Wehrlein, a shout out to him as well, a brilliant P12 in the Manor. I mean, the Manor was like the Haas of, well, maybe not as bad as the Haas of 2021, but not far off, was it? It was very much a back running team.
Probably was about as bad as the Haas.
You reckon?
Maybe not far off, but this was an unbelievable weekend for Pascal Wehrlein, which we'll talk about later, which is crazy to think his career didn't go in the way you expected. If you'd have said that after this race, it would have been quite surprising to find out that he just did nothing and ended up in Formula E like every other failed Formula One driver. Savage. But yeah, Nico Hülkenberg, it was to show the sign of Mercedes dominance. The Q3 time, Hamilton was on pole with a 107.9. Rosberg was second with a 108.4. Again,
half a second
off your teammate and still. And then Nico Hülkenberg was third with a 109.2. So Hamilton was over a second clear of the next quickest car. Such was the dominance of Mercedes. And it's quite fitting that the two drivers that you know for a drying track, those wet, dry conditions, are Jenson Button and Nico Hülkenberg. And they're the ones that put in some brilliant laps. And after Rosberg and Vettel both had five-place grid penalties, it was actually, Hülkenberg on the front row and Jenson Button in third, which is wild because he was in a McLaren Honda. The terrible McLaren Honda. Yeah, absolutely dreadful car. He snuck into Q2 by 6/1000ths of a second. And then because of the wet dry, which is his jam, isn't it? The drying track, very much Jenson Button conditions, popped it into what would be a P3 in a McLaren Honda, where, I mean, that car was dreadful. We all know the memes about them. They were appalling, like genuinely like backmarkers. So very bizarre to watch the highlights back of this race and see a McLaren Honda running so high, because pretty sure this is probably the only race that ever happened
where they were anywhere near the front.
No.
GP2 engine, GP2, as we know. Yeah. But yes, the Button had an unbelievable qualifying, was very good in changeable conditions, as we saw many times throughout his career. So now we turn our attentions to the race start, and Nico Hülkenberg doing typical Nico Hülkenberg things of qualifying really well. Was on the front row of the grid for the Austrian 2016 Grand Prix, and he fell back to, I think it was fifth
By
the time it's in turn one.
The shortest run, like the Austria is such a short run. And Hülkenberg managed to end up fifth by the first turn. Yeah.
Yeah, he got absolutely swamped. So that meant that Jenson Button got up to P2 in the McLaren Honda, otherwise known as just, you know, just pretty much a bicycle down the straights. But he still managed an amazing start. And then, yeah, they're all jostling for position. I think Vettel had a very sketchy moment.
Yeah.
After the straight where, I mean, I don't know how he's managed to keep that car from not spearing into the side of a Red Bull. But Hülkenberg back to fifth. And you just think just at that point, things. No podium.
Yeah. Yeah. What a golden chance. And he's just like, no, don't fancy a podium. I mean, I feel for the guy because there's going to be, and he'll probably be mentioned a lot in that time when, for all the jokes aside of not getting a podium, I genuinely think he is one of the best drivers ever to not score. I would say even score a victory, never mind a podium. It's insane the amount of people that have scored podiums in Formula One. And a driver as good as Nico Hülkenberg hasn't, but it was just never meant to be.
It wasn't, which is a shame. I completely agree. You know, that so many occasions he had such great midfield drives and would finish P4, P5, but never, ever was there a crazy race where he turned up at the same time.
So Jay Perez, for example, is... So Hülkenberg was in a Force India, obviously qualified P3, which would be P2. Sergio Perez was his teammate, qualified 16th. So, yeah, handy driver. And obviously, Sergio is a very good driver as well. And, just never happened for Hulk.
It did not. So on lap 7, Kimi Raikkonen finally got through on the very slow McLaren Honda of Jenson Button and managed to get up to P2. But the big talking point and the big moment was only lap 11. So this was when, in the era of ultra-softs, softs, mediums,
yeah,
all these different colours of tyre compounds. Rosberg went for a very early stop on lap 11 to try and do something miraculous to get through the field. And it turned out to be quite the miracle because once Hamilton came into the pits 11 laps later, after a slow pit stop, Rosberg took the lead, which I'm sure really, really made Hamilton happy.
Yeah, they'd obviously planned it where Hamilton would make it out ahead of Rosberg, but the slow stop, they do run such fine margins with these things, don't they, where they leave it to the last possible moment because the computer tells them that it takes 3 seconds to do a pit stop and this is the exact part you'll come out on the track. But sometimes, you know, 1 or 2 seconds in the pit stop seems like such a short time, but then when you relate that to Formula One distance on a racetrack, it's obviously massive. And one thing I would say about this is this season, oh my God, if F1 Twitter existed during the 2016, obviously it did to a point, but certainly not to the level that it is now. Hamilton's misfortune a lot of the time. I was obviously, well, we both would have been on Twitter back in the day, but didn't know each other at the time really that well. But I remember reading replies to Mercedes tweets throughout this whole season because it did seem like Hamilton got a lot of the misfortune. Slow stops, gearbox penalties, whatever, more gearbox penalties, and his car letting him down. So many replies from Hamilton fans this season that's like, oh, they want a German driver to win in a German team and all this kind of conspiracy theories, like they'd sabotage Hamilton for the title and they wanted Rosberg to get one. It was just unlucky, but Rosberg ends up in the lead despite starting way down in sixth, and Hamilton must be thinking like, oh, someone he had in his back pocket last season, it's like he's here again and he's beating me again.
And they are, of course, or were, of course, rivals. They were best friends, but then they became They were also rivals, of course, on track.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
About their karting career as well. That's the next big talking point. Although there was a moment that probably worth mentioning where Pascal Wehrlein got massively blocked by one of the Renaults when he was trying to make an overtake, where he literally was just weaving over around the track. Which
K-Mag being K-Mag, that was.
Yeah. That was, quite the interesting decision there from K-Mag. But yeah, then we take a look at lap 27 because there were, a safety car came out where Sebastian Vettel was doing his own little strategy. He was on the soft tyres. He was going quite long. But then on lap 27, boom, his tyre explodes, game over. And it was on the pit straight, I think, going down towards turn one. And yeah, completely stricken. I think it was his right rear that exploded and it brought out the safety car. So that, of course, changed things again.
Yeah, Vettel was staying out. He was actually in the lead at this point because he hadn't pitted all the way to lap 27, like you say. And yeah, it was quite the dramatic failure, just literally went bang, which wasn't the first time that we saw Vettel have tyre failures in the Pirelli era. Pirelli said it was caused by debris and nothing to do with them, of course, which we heard a lot. We've heard a lot during the Pirelli era, but that's what they believed, that, you know, it wasn't a tyre failure. This obviously wasn't that many years after Silverstone that year where all the tyres were blowing up. And we'd seen a few times where people had tried to push the Pirelli tyres a bit longer and they just, rather than just losing performance, they just go bang. So, yeah. And then it bunched the order back up. Not that it made that much difference because the Mercedes were miles quicker than everyone else. So it didn't really matter. But I guess you could say that it was a bit more, despite a crazy qualifying where you had Nico Hülkenberg up there, McLaren, Honda up there, it's two Mercs, two Red Bulls and a Ferrari. So kind of normal service resumed.
Normal service did resume. Yeah, you had Rosberg, Hamilton, Verstappen, Ricciardo, and then Raikkonen, your top five. Where do you think Vettel would have finished had he not had that tyre blowout?
Ooh, maybe on the podium. Probably ahead of Raikkonen. One thing that was slightly weird watching these highlights is it was very weird to see Verstappen as Vez in the time. Yeah, I put Ver on this, but he was VES because obviously Jean-Eric Vergne used to be in Formula One and had already taken that. And it's very weird to look back now because we're so used to just Ver on the timing tower. But Verstappen was Vez, which is very
old
weird.
Vez. Also worth mentioning that Felipe Nasr, which was a driver that was very confusing when Felipe Massa was also driving, was fighting for seventh at this point, which in a car that certainly wasn't probably belonging of being there. I think Jenson Button was fighting him at that point in the McLaren Honda after his very decent qualifying. But then we get to the second stops. Hamilton actually pitted first, but didn't manage to get any sort of undercut on Rosberg. So Rosberg then pit a lap later, considering, you know, he had 10, 11 lap younger tyres, older tyres, sorry, than Hamilton. He did a pretty good job to maintain the lead. So Rosberg legitimately, with the same, almost the same tyre life, had a straight fight now with Hamilton.
Yeah, Hamilton actually messed up his outlap slightly. He had his hammer time, which happened a lot in that era, but did run slightly wide. Wasn't a huge mistake, but obviously enough. Rosberg had a quick pit stop and could stay ahead.
He could indeed. Verstappen led for a bit, but was eventually passed by the two Mercedes on newer tyres. And that's pretty much everything up until the final few laps.
Where
it all kicks off. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So if Hamilton starts closing in on Rosberg, which is you know, a very common occurrence. I think when Hamilton was behind, he seemed to have better race pace. But yeah, Austrian Grand Prix, he was closing in at a rate of knots, and on the final lap had one of the most controversial incidents between title rivals in quite some time. So Hamilton gets out of turn one pretty well, gets a good run down towards what is technically turn three, I think.
Because there's a kink. Because it's a kink that's but turn two, which is very confusing.
So Hamilton all over the back of Rosberg, who's clearly struggling. And as you know, it's a very tight right-hander, and Hamilton tries to go around the outside, and Rosberg just doesn't stop. He just does. He just keeps his steering wheel straight for the longest time. At the apex is nowhere to be seen. There's no apex whatsoever. Nope. So then the two drivers make contact, and quite big contact, to be honest. When that happens, I'm like, wait, who's in third? Who's going to win this race? Because Rosberg basically pushes Hamilton off the track. Not too dissimilar, obviously much more aggressive than what we saw between Verstappen and Leclerc, in the sense of one of them went off the track and then basically was incredibly eager to come back on. Rosberg continued on the lead for a moment, but his front wing completely exploded. Toto Wolff also nearly exploded at the front desk off one of those Mercedes.
This must have been one of the first things where that meme really took off, right? With him banging on a desk. It's been one of the first incidents, but yeah. You mentioned the Verstappen Leclerc thing, actually. I think, fanboy alert, but I think the reason the Verstappen one's different, and this is the same, actually, to obviously we're doing this after Silverstone and the Perez Leclerc Verstappen, a lot of the racing that they did there, they're at least going into the corner and then running the apex wide. Whereas if you watch this move, Nico Rosberg, it's such a bad attempt of trying to do that. You know, he could have, I reckon he'd have got away with it if he'd done the Verstappen, where all he has to do is start turning, squeeze him wide, make sure he doesn't get back off, and, you know, stick to your line. But it's the fact that he just completely drives straight, and it gets to the point. Hamilton's actually quite clever with this, I think, because he turns in. He doesn't let Nico just get him going straight.
Well, I mean, where else is he going to go at that point? You know,
well, like, he could go straight on, but then it's ruined his race. So obviously he turns in, and then it's clear that when Hamilton is turning, because it's a corner, which you're meant to do, they collide because Rosberg's just driving straight on. Like it's a straight and not a corner.
It was dreadful.
It's like his controller's disconnected, and he's just going
genuinely
straight on.
He goes in a bit too deep and just completely shafts Lewis. It's very different in the sense of where there was actual proper contact and Hamilton
screams a driver like Nico. To me, it screams someone that wants to do that kind of Verstappen, Leclerc style hardcore racing where you're like pushing them off, but doesn't really know how to do it properly. And he's just made a pathetic attempt at it. And it just looks ridiculous. It just makes him look like an idiot, basically.
It really does. Rosberg, it was not his finest hour by any stretch of the imagination. And in fact, did drop some positions as well. I also love the panning shot of that. All that chaos had happened. They pan round to what, turn four, and Perez is in the wall, just sitting there in his Force India. I don't even know, maybe a brake failure or what, but
yeah,
he just,
I think it was,
literally
yeah.
completely did not slow down whatsoever on what would have been, it would have been his penultimate lap, because I guess he was just ahead of the leaders. So Rosberg had massive front wing damage. You had, what was it, Verstappen, Ricciardo, Raikkonen, they all went past.
Just Verstappen and Raikkonen.
Ricciardo was just behind, actually, on the podium after the... Because Rosberg got a penalty, didn't he?
He did. He got a post-race penalty. So Verstappen and Raikkonen get through on the final lap, on the final few corners, as Rosberg's like limping back to the pits. Obviously, Hamilton wins. Verstappen and Raikkonen are really close at this point as well.
Did he go to the pits? Surely he went...
across the line. Verstappen and Raikkonen cross the line to finish second and third. Daniel Ricciardo doesn't quite, is still like a way back, and then Rosberg finishes fourth, and he's given a 10-second time penalty, which doesn't change the result at all because Ricciardo is 14 seconds behind him.
Yeah.
So it's one of those penalties that doesn't really make a difference. So the stewards deemed Rosberg to be at fault, which he was. Terrible driving. Toto Wolff didn't obviously blame either driver, which he wouldn't, I guess, but called it brainless and was really very angry at the end when he was speaking to Ted Kravitz and saying, you know, we could have had another double DNF here. It was an easy 1-2. What are they doing kind of situation.
I mean, when they look back at the season, oh no, anyway, sort of thing.
Yeah, I know, right? I think that was the argument that they're in a very... this is probably not a great example, but say that the Ferraris keep colliding, they'll just tell them they can't race, or like the Red Bulls or whatever, because it's a close title battle between two teams. You know, Hamilton and Rosberg's advantage in that Mercedes, they could have done this 4 or 5 times in the season. I mean, Hamilton, we all know Nico Rosberg won the championship, so no spoiler alert. 385 points. Lewis, 380 points. Daniel Ricciardo, 256 points.
Yeah, so they could have lost a big old amount, couldn't they, really? And it wouldn't have been any problem whatsoever.
130 points clear. So,
also worth mentioning... it didn't matter. Also worth mentioning that Pascal Wehrlein, who qualified 12th in the Manor, managed to end up finishing P10 and scoring a point for Manor, which was absolutely enormous at the time for such a backmarker team. That was a huge shout out.
Thanks to Perez as well. Yeah. That's what got him that point. Pascal Wehrlein's, I mentioned it earlier. It is crazy to think that he was the... particularly after this drive, a lot of people were like, he is the future of Mercedes. People were talking about him like George Russell, like Ocon as well, actually. If you think that there's one point where Ocon was said to be the next one waiting in the wings at Mercedes, and he was the hyped driver that was like, oh, you know, if he can do that in a Manor, what would he be like in a Mercedes? Or he's going to be in a good team at some point. And it never really worked out for him.
No, it didn't, which is a shame. I think he would have been pretty decent in Formula One in a better team. But we will at least not find out anytime soon. I don't think there's any rumours of him coming into Formula One anytime. No. So, yeah, other things to mention. Hamilton was booed on the podium.
Yeah, dominance. It's funny, isn't it? Every driver that does well. It's a shame in Formula One, isn't it, that people boo success.
Yeah, people boo people being good.
I know it can be boring when people dominate, but it's not their fault.
Yeah, just slow down. Be worse. And at the end of that, Hamilton closed the gap to 11 points. But as we know, it didn't really matter because he lost the championship. So sorry if you were going to watch a 2016 season review. But
and we've ruined it. Spoiler alert. Yeah, because Nico Rosberg doesn't tend to talk about him winning the 2016 title very much.
No, he doesn't. I don't think he's ever mentioned himself as the 2016 world champion, has he?
In equal cars, beating Lewis Hamilton. Yeah, it was an interesting stage of the championship, though, because Nico Rosberg in the interview afterwards, you can tell he's basically being like, well, I dictate the corner and all this. You can tell he doesn't, you know, when you watch someone and they don't believe what they're saying.
And
100% with this. So he knew he'd messed up, but I guess it was all part of these mind games that he played to get in Lewis's head to help turn the championship. But after Austria, Hamilton would go on to make it 4 wins in a row. So by Germany, he does have a title lead. It's funny, actually, this season it is Nico Rosberg wins a load, then Hamilton wins a load in a row, then Nico wins a load in a row, and then Hamilton wins a load in a row. Like there was never like a back and forth. It was always like
chunks,
dominant chunks of spells. So, I'm sure maybe we do about like Malaysia or something if people want us to go more into this very intriguing season, even if it was just 2 Mercs miles ahead of the field.
Well, I'm sure there'll be a that time when Lewis Hamilton tried to back up Nico Rosberg to win the title somewhere in the locker as well.
Yeah, that was a very interesting finale. A very forgotten about finale, I'd say, as well.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Well, thank you, Tommy, for giving us your thoughts and feelings on that 2016 Austrian Grand Prix. And thank you to all of you for listening as well to this That Time When podcast. Hashtag WTF1 podcast if you want to send any suggestions as to what you'd like us to talk about next. And that is pretty much it. We will see you very soon for another That Time When. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.